RT UK launched in 2014, and ever since, they've been going on the offensive against the BBC.
The British Broadcasting Corporation is accused of staging chemical weapons attack.
That salacious claim was in reference to a chemical weapons attack in Syria. RT accused the BBC of conjuring the whole thing up. RT's conduct demanded the scrutiny of Ofcom, Britain's independent media regulator charged with enforcing a code which requires impartiality. Within a year of being on air, RT's show Truth Seeker was cancelled as Ofcom hit RT with sanctions. Since then, RT UK has frequently been reprimanded, but they remain an agitator in British media, commonly airing coverage and analysis which is misleading or fabricated. RT would say they are simply providing the unvarnished Russian perspective. Speaking in Parliament, British Prime Minister Theresa May was blunt in her assessment of RT, as she conflated their work with other subterfuge by the Kremlin.
It's seeking to weaponise information, deploying its state-run media organisations to plant fake stories and photoshopped images in an attempt to sow discord in the West and undermine our institutions.
Her address in March came after the attack in Salisbury, England, of a former KGB spy and his daughter.
When enemies of the Kremlin are poisoned in Britain, the finger of blame is quick to point to Moscow, and with good reason.
That's from the BBC report of the story, linking the murder of one of their own journalists, a defector, back in 1978, to the Salisbury case today. They have clearly followed the narrative given by British intelligence that the attempted murder was ordered by the Russian government, whether through Putin or one of the many internal factions.
Clearly, the practice of killing its enemies abroad has survived the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Since then, sanctions on Russia have been levied by the UK, US and others. Meanwhile, RT UK have muddied the debate, airing a whole myriad of alternative theories as to who might be behind the Salisbury incident. Invited onto a panel for BBC television, which itself sparked controversy, RT UK host Afshin Ratanzi defended his network's coverage of the attack.
Obviously everyone condemns this attack. I mean, it's terrible for the police officer and these two spies. And
can I just Did you catch that? He just said two spies. All of Western media has reported the attack was on former spy Sergei Skripal, with his daughter Yulia merely innocent collateral. There is no evidence yet that she is in any way connected to Russian intelligence. So, what's the point of all this misinformation?
Russia is determined to spread confusion.
That's former BBC journalist Tim Luckhurst. He's now a journalism professor at the University of Kent.
It is determined to challenge fact-based news reporting with an attempt to create chaos by suggesting that there is no such thing as objective truth which can be determined through the observation and interpretation of evidence, rather there are simply dozens of competing narratives.
I'm not actually saying Russia didn't do it either. I'm just saying question what you're being told by the Prime Minister.
Question more is the official mantra and slogan of RT. Critics like Luckhurst say this often leads RT into giving a platform to crackpots, many of whom just so happen to have theories that make Western countries look culpable of far-ranging conspiracy.
Years after the tragedy of 9/11, many questions remain unanswered. A group of experts has convened in Washington to discuss what they think happened that day. And as RT's Dina Gusulski reports, some of their theories are in stark contrast to the official version of the events.
Speaking with BBC Radio 4 this past July, RT UK chief Nikolai Bogashian disputed the notion that RT's mission is to stir disaffection with the state and divide Western society.
No, I wouldn't say that we are anti-West. We are for a sound debate.
Well, what do you say to those people who say RT UK is fake news?
They cannot be more wrong.
How often do you speak to your bosses in Moscow?
Every week or so.
And how often do you think they get phone calls from the Russian government?
I can tell you for certain, they do not have phone calls from the Russian government at all.
Really? No contact whatsoever?
Absolutely. Never.
But dismissing RT has been made complicated by the regular support of an irregular cast. Seemingly credible commentators play the part of proxy, Some with reputable titles, political careers, or awards to their name, like Australian documentarian John Pilger. It helps that he is well known for his Chomskyite suspicions of Western powers. So recently, on RT, he sided with the Kremlin's assessment of the chemical attacks in Salisbury.
This is a carefully constructed drama as part of the propaganda campaign that has been building now for several years. That's a fact.
And it's not just their guests. Much like RT America recruiting Larry King, RT UK also touts some marquee hosts like Alex Salmond, a former leader of the Scottish government who was instrumental in their bid for independence. Suffice to say, he is no lover of London. Salmond also hosted an unaffiliated programme on national radio. There, he was more than happy to take on callers like BBC bigwig John Sweeney, who suggested he's a shill for the Kremlin.
People are allowed to criticise the BBC on the BBC. Not so on Russia Today.
Well, you're saying that I wouldn't have critics of the Kremlin or Mr. Putin or anybody like that on my programme on RT? Are you seriously saying that? Have you watched the programme, John?
So when has Alex Navalny been on your show?
You'd ask about critics.
You have marginal critics, but you don't have the big ones because Vladimir Putin and your paymasters, Alex, would not like that.
Okay. Well, I love the double standards. This is the BBC.
Now it's Salmond's critics who are laughing. In late March this year, he lost that radio show because of the backlash against any RT patrons and payees. After the decision, a solemn Salmond recorded this video plea, calling out persecution and remaining a steadfast apologist for RT.
I hold no brief for the Kremlin, nor am I required to have. To censure would make a travesty of the concept of nation speaking unto nation, a mockery of freedom of speech, and it would portray an image of a country lost in self-doubt.
Since the Salisbury spy poisoning, RT UK has become increasingly inflammatory, inviting a fresh investigation by Ofcom. Meanwhile, commentators have been muckraking politicians, mainly on the left of the spectrum, for even appearing on the network. They reason it lends false credibility and makes it hard for casual viewers to properly distinguish RT UK from honest media. Labour Party MP John McDonnell got a grilling on BBC television.
One very clear thing that you could do is stop appearing on Russia Today, which has been described by one of your own ministers as a Kremlin propaganda vehicle.
I think that's right now, and that's what I'll be doing. I can understand why people have up until now, because we've treated it like every other television station.
But former BBC journalist Tim Luckhurst says that's exactly how we should treat them. Prejudice stokes RT, so it is a matter best left for the non-partisan Ofcom.
The impeccable way to treat broadcasters in a democracy is to allow them all to be regulated by the established regulator, which exists for that purpose. In other words, RT will be treated in exactly the same way as the BBC. Does it achieve due impartiality in its coverage of politics? Mm. Is it fair? Is what it broadcasts objectively true?
That doesn't mean that the question has been solved in the Houses of Parliament for Ofcom to do its dispassionate duty. A week and a half after the poisoning incident, MPs Chris Bryant and Stephen Doughty presented both sides of the argument in response to Prime Minister May's speech.
Can I urge the Prime Minister to speak with the Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sports to look at reviewing Russia Today's broadcasting licence and to speak to the House authorities about blocking their broadcasts in this building itself? Why should we be watching their propaganda in this Parliament?
Draw attention to something. I don't want to get lost what the Prime Minister said, which was, while our response must be robust, it must also remain true to our values. And as such, this country believes in a free media. We're not frightened of it. We'll hear opinions that are against us, but we also believe in the rule of law and democracy.
So far, Theresa May has backed away from endorsing any ban, instead calling for more funding of the BBC World Service and its efforts to broadcast fact-based news to audiences abroad.
And we're investing millions in countering Russian disinformation efforts, including more investment in public service and independent media operating in the Russian language.
During the Cold War, the BBC's broadcasts that stretched behind the Iron Curtain were hindered, though unsuccessfully, by Soviet radio jamming. Sadly, it is a little easier to sever reception of TV and block internet browsing. Now, if Parliament bans RT UK, Russia have threatened to retaliate.
I can tell you directly, not a single British media outlet will work in our country if they shut down RT.
For now, Prime Minister May isn't keen to see cultural diplomacy scrambled again by any imposed silence. For America Abroad, I'm Tommy Horner in London.